morning at a story. It's recorded in two of the Gospels, Mark 14 and John 12. I'm going to be reading from Mark's account here, the first eight verses. It says, "Now after 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of the unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, 'No, not at the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people.' And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as they sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it over his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, 'Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and had been given to the poor.' And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, 'Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She has wrought a good work unto me. For you have the poor with you always, and whensoever you have, you will do good to them. But me ye have not always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body to my burying.'" She's done what she could. Other versions might say, "She did what she could do." This supper of Jesus here, he was gathered with his friends, and it seems to be the last week of his earthly life. John will say 6 days. John's account says 6 days before the Passover. If we knew this was the last week we were to live, would we be gathering with friends and family to have a meal? The thing is, none of us have the foreknowledge that Jesus had. We don't know if this will be our last week, but he did and chose it to be with some of his closest friends around a table. On this occasion, Jesus was gathered with some of his closest friends, and I like this part where it says, "at the house of Simon the leper." If Simon was a leper, why was he there? My thought is, once you meet Jesus, everything changes. I believe that Simon may have once been a leper, but not anymore. He was around the table with Jesus, once an outcast, now a welcome participant. While at this meal, others were there, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And if we remember just one chapter earlier in John's account, Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead, and now Mary, his sister, comes with a very costly ointment, breaks it open and pours it over the head of Jesus and wipes his feet with her hair. She didn't use just a few drops. She used the whole thing. You know, this past week, my wife had bought me a bottle of my favorite aftershave, Old Spice. Now this morning, I didn't use all of it. I just used a couple drops. And I would venture to say none of you used the whole bottle of your favorite shampoo or perfume or aftershave this morning either. But at this point, and none of us, I would say, when we purchased this, used a year's wages to make the purchase. But here it says this very costly ointment, and they give it a value of 300 pence. Some of the commentators say that was about a year's wages. Very costly. But Mary used it in the service to Jesus. The writers here tell us the whole house was filled with the aroma of the ointment. Does our outpouring of service to Jesus fill the surrounding areas where we're at? Is our service noticed by others? The disciples seem to think, and both John and Mark's account both mention that they murmured against her. They both point out that Judas Iscariot was one of those who had that indignation against her. But listen to Jesus' remarks, and this is what I want to focus on. He says, "Let her alone. She has done a good work unto me. She has done what she could." Now that's high praise from Jesus. This woman did what she could do. And the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords commends her for it. She didn't wait for some miraculous thing to happen for all to see. She didn't wait for others to do something big and grand. She was commended for doing what she could. Two different times in the Bibles, we see two women doing seemingly small things, but given into the service to the Master are great feats in the eyes of Jesus. Once here with Mary and the anointing, and the other with the widow giving her two mites. Both times, Jesus uses the occasion of these unselfish acts to teach a lesson of those around him. We're around the table this morning at the invitation of the King. We may come as if it were former lepers, former sinners, common people, still sinners, but we're all here in the eyes of Jesus to remember him. We come to commune with him around the table. We are here because he did all that he could do. Going to the cross for you and I. The sacrifice was not one that we could make, but he did all he could do for us. Like Mary at the supper at Bethany, she came bringing all she had to the service to Jesus. She did what she could do. The point here, I guess, today is this week, in remembrance of Jesus, will we do all we can do for Jesus? It may not be glamorous or glorious, but whatever it is, whatever we do in the service to him, will be commended because of his sacrifice for us. Dear Father in heaven, as we come today, and just looking at this example before us in scriptures, Lord, thinking about you noticing even the smallest acts at times in our lives, but done in service to you is one that's remembered by you. We remember now by our time around this table, remembering the sacrifice that you did, giving of your whole body, giving of your whole life, coming down from heaven, taking the form of man, and giving it so freely upon the cross for each one of us. These emblems remind us of that, the bread representing the broken body that was beat and torn apart by the whip and the scourge, and the fists that were laid upon him that day. The fruit of the vine representing your blood that was so freely given on our behalf. We're just so thankful for that as we think about and reflect on things that we could do for you. May it be a week, a time that we can reflect on that more fully and reflect and show others what you have done for us in our life. For your son's name we pray.